Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number one.
Five on it here with Rahimi and Harris. It is Mark Grody. It is Marshall Harris. We got five questions for you. Question number one. What was the most surprising move the Bears made on roster cutdown day?
So we have to. So one, we can only do one?
Yeah, I think that's the, like, what was the most surprising? It's a superlative. I don't know if you know how this works. It means one's got to be above the rest.
Yeah, I got you, superlative guy. You know what I'm going to say? Relative to the beginning of the season, and I get it, he earned the spot. So in the at the end of the day, it's not necessarily surprising. But Jahdae Walker making this team is a big deal. We have seen... You have watched Bears football enough through the years, those of you listening here on the Rahimi and Harris show for sure, to know that there has been many a times when we have seen wide receivers flourish during training camp, and there have been great stories of guys, and then cut down day comes and they're like the first person cut. It's like Chicago losing the Olympics. Like, we're all excited about it, we're fascinated, infrastructure is going to be fixed, and then Chicago is immediately dismissed from contention. That's what usually happens. Like, I was a little surprised that Walker still made it as a sixth wide receiver, by the way, on this team. So I will say Walker as my surprise, and an honorable mention, and maybe this is personal, and I think it's personal for a lot of people. Doug Kramer did not survive. Now, he might come back on the practice squad. Doug Kramer is my U of I guy. Last year, Dan Wiederer and I, co-host on the Take the North podcast, were in an elevator at Soldier Field heading up, and two older people got onto the elevator, and they said, "Oh, it's Mark Grody." And it was Doug Kramer's grandparents, and I have Dan Wiederer as my witness. They are fans of The Score. They are fans of me, and so I am a fan of Doug Kramer. It's a family thing.
Did they
Marshall.
Say Bears? Did they police say? Did police tell me they said Bears?
I don't necessarily remember that. I might have said Bears, but they were very, very excited.
He did the bit.
He said it
in real life.
He said it again. So shout out to Doug Kramer. Shout out to Cubs. Doug Kramer's grandparents.
White
Hope
Sox.
You're all doing well,
Bears. All right, so that's yours.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the fact that Karan Amagaji is still on this team, because I wasn't sure. Ryan Poles has had some issues, and I was like, is this going to be the dagger on Ryan Poles? Like, not a dagger that kills him, but a dagger that certainly makes us go, huh, Ben Johnson wasn't a fan of that Karan Amagaji thing. So, but they're giving time for a second-year player to develop. And I guess it goes in concert with, I was wondering if Theo Benedet was for real. And the fact that he's off the practice squad now on the 53-man roster means he's for real. But it also means that one of Poles' guys that was very questionable is going to get a chance. Although, I don't know that he's ever going to play tackle again for the Bears. He may just be a guard for the Bears and an emergency tackle.
The Tevin Jenkins plan?
And so that's concerning, right? Because you drafted him in the third round as a tackle.
However, the Tevin Jenkins, what, second round pick? Drafted to be the replacement, essentially, to Charles Leno Jr. They moved him inside and he thrived. So, I mean, like...
But you need tackles.
That wasn't the idea.
But you need tackles.
You're right. It's default. There's no doubt.
Default's not good.
No.
When you're talking about Ryan Poles and his track record, and I a year from now, I'm interested to see how many 2023 and 2022 players there are still left on this roster. Let me tell you, it won't be many.
real quick, low key, before we get on to the next question. I was a little surprised Ian Wheeler was cut. Now, he might make it back to the practice squad, I would imagine. But
I think that's what's going to happen.
I just like what I see out of him in terms of the speed factor. So, so he could be back. Who did we have earlier that's back with the Bears?
I know that JP Richardson.
Thank you.
JP Richardson, he's on the practice squad.
There you go. See, there's the example of the wide receiver who was good in camp that everybody kind of liked early on, and they couldn't cut him fast enough, but they bring him back.
But it faded. It faded quickly.
It did, actually.
Richardson.
It's a great point.
Five on it. Number two.
Is there a chance Braxton Jones isn't the Bears' starting left tackle?
So you're saying there's a chance? Yeah, of course there's a chance. they could determine that Braxton Jones isn't where he needs to be from a recovery from the injury. That sound you got with him in the locker room really told me a lot about where he is and where he thinks he is. And of course, he's basically saying, guys, it's not like I'm not trying out here, but I've been dealing with this, that, and the other.
It's like this and like that? Is that what you're saying?
And like that, Anna.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, yes, I could see a possibility of him not starting, but I expect him to start because Ozzie Trapillo, not that he's been a disappointment, but they may have put a little too much dip on their proverbial chip in terms of what expectations were for week one as a rookie who played almost all of his college football at Boston College at right tackle and expecting them to be able to just quickly convert to left tackle. It did not work out that way.
Yeah, and again, I give the Bears credit for that, even though it kind of sucks that the rookie, the guy that drafted in the second round, is for now out of the competition at left tackle. But I appreciate the fact that the Bears have been real about it and not tried to force anybody in because of where they were drafted and who they are. Here's what I think. I think Braxton Jones will be the starting left tackle, but they, and this is kind of like reading between the lines, they're saying if it ain't good enough, then be ready for plan two, which appears to be Theo Benedict. I'm trying to figure out how far.
Is. I think it is.
How far are they taking this Theo Benedict thing? And are they, is the, are they actually considering the possibility? Because, I mean, we have to consider that because they did not want to name the starter yesterday. I think that was because they don't want to give the satisfaction to the players right now because they have not, nobody has done good enough. So I don't think they wanted to be like, yep, Braxton Jones is our guy. I think they're going to do it in a much more low-key fashion, and we'll find out 24 hours before the game that Braxton Jones is a starting left tackle.
Nah, see, I disagree with that. I don't think we're going to find out 24 hours before the game because I think once game plan for Minnesota starts, you're going to see with your own eyes who's out there with the first team, and I don't think that player is going to rotate in the week of the game.
Yeah.
You need the real reps leading up to a game, and I think whoever is out there at left tackle, and I expect it fully to be Braxton Jones, is going to get the week one start. But I think you are right in saying no one deserves the satisfaction this far out of being named the starter. I'll say this, their attempt to get Ozzie Trapillo to play left tackle coming out of college, it's very much like when you see a garbage can and you've got a wadded up paper player, wadded up piece of paper, and you yell Kobe and you let that thing fly and it hits off the front of the rim, does not go in. Now you go back, you get it, you pick it up and you put it in the trash can. They yelled Kobe, the wad did not go in the trash can, but now they're trying to pick it up and gently put,
haven't we been told to avoid Marshall's analogies? Isn't that in the show?
Yeah,
open?
Guess what, they're coming anyway, full speed ahead
with slobber. Yeah. With slobber.
Yeah, that was an analogy as well.
Number three.
Question number three of five on it. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, third question.
Uh-huh.
Listener, what is the least amount of wins the Bears can have in order to have a successful season?
Oh, look at your face.
I know. I know. Well,
you just told me a few segments ago, you said something about the number five.
Okay. I'll say the least amount of wins the Bears could have this year to remain successful. The reason that I'm pausing here is because I have to go with my initial statement from the beginning of the show, and that is, to me, a successful season is knowing that you have the quarterback, which was the measure last year for me, too. That was how I evaluated the Chicago Bears last year, too. Do you know at the end of the season that you have a quarterback that's going to be around for the next 7 to 10 years and hopefully for his entire career? So I think I would be okay with 6 wins if I know.
Ooh,
that.
You're comfortable with that?
I know. Well, you guys are, look, it is by nature, it is a cynical question, which is not going to elicit many optimistic answers, right? We're talking about what is the least amount of wins the Bears can have this year, right? So I will say it. 6, if I know that the quarterback is going to be good. I would doubt that the Bears would only win 6 games if the quarterback is good, though.
Going back to that opening thesis, it's not just about the quarterback. I need to know that he is the franchise quarterback. I also need to know that the head coach can coach, as in head coach, not just offensive play caller.
Oh, you don't like Ben Johnson?
Nope, that's not what I said. And see, here you go.
I wrote that down. It's on record.
Start in trouble.
Put that down in five on it for tomorrow.
I think the two are intertwined, and I think there's a possibility that success means more than 6 wins because Ben Johnson should be able to get him a win or two. Like, my whole thing is this. First four games, win two games. Find a way. Just find a way to win two of the first four games, no matter how bad your team looks. Other teams will be going through growing pains as well. First-time head coach in Dallas, correct?
Yes.
You have a new head coach in Las Vegas. You have a new starting quarterback in Minnesota. You have a team missing both of its coordinators in Detroit. All these teams have different problems. They're different than your problems, but you got to find a way to take advantage of their problems in a better way than they take advantage of your problems. So, in my opinion, six is a good number. I would say seven.
Okay.
And it's more so, regardless of how they start, they need to have more wins than losses in the back eight. I don't know if you've seen the back eight. It's not easy. But they got to have, or you know what? Strike that. 500 in the back eight.
I have a question for you guys. Yeah. So let's say you Addendum. Guys went on a 18-week coma. You guys were in an 18-week coma. You wake up at the end of the year. You find out the Chicago Bears are in the playoffs. Are you surprised?
You know what? I'm not blown away. I'm not. I mean, like, yeah, surprised. Yes, a little bit surprised, of course, based on everything that we've seen, everything we know. I would be a little surprised, but not blown away.
I would not be surprised just because of the nature of the division and so many teams have so many question marks. I will be a lot less surprised if they start out 2-2 than if they start out 1-3. I know that's just one game, but I think it makes all the difference, especially going into that bye week, to know exactly where you are, what progress have you made from game one to game four, and then, of course, how you play out of the bye in that big game against Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. The first 4 to 5 games are going to set this whole thing up. They're going to be out of the playoff race possibly by week five. That's where it is. You've got to find a way to be at least 2-3 after 5 weeks. If you're not 2-3, ain't no way. Because that two-city tandem on the road, Baltimore-Cincinnati, come on, man.
You think they're going to get swept in that little...
I don't think they're necessarily going to get swept.
They're going to win one of those games.
I can't wait to get to that point in the season and see if you still feel the same way.
If we're all high on Ben Johnson, he's got a game plan away to beat one of those two teams. They've got to. Got to
have a coach.
That's right.
Five on it. Number four.
Transitioning to Cubs, Colin Ray goes against the Giants today. Are you a believer?
Am I a believer in Colin Ray? You know what? I have been so pained by this question because I've been the one that advocated when the starters got healthy, being Javier Assad, and Jameson Taillon, that he needed to go back into a bullpen swingman role. But all this man does is go out there and give you a chance to win. He hasn't given up more than 2 runs in any of his last 4 starts. They need him today just so they can bounce back and not lose the series against the Giants. And I'm not a believer in Colin Ray long term, but I'm a believer in Colin Ray in the moment. He's been a guy who has just simply been able to keep you around. And that's what a fifth starter should be on most staffs, even the best teams, teams going to the playoffs. The fifth starter is rarely a world beater. Colin Ray has not been a world beater, but he has certainly beaten whatever the expectations were for his season to start. So, yes, I'm a believer in Colin Ray in this role as a fifth starter.
Does it kind of blow you away when you... I know none of us likes wins anymore, but he's 10-5 with a 3.96 ERA, which, you're right, that's outstanding for a fifth starter.
He's got the lowest ERA he's had at any point in his 7-year career.
Yeah, that looks good. Like, I mean, look at that. You're like, yeah, if you didn't know anything about him or his age or anything, you'd be like, yeah, I'd sign that guy as my third or fourth starter in a rotation. So, yeah, again, relative to fifth starter. And you're right. You don't want that guy being necessarily starting games
in the
postseason. Right. I mean, I wouldn't be afraid of him coming out of the bullpen if he's on the playoff roster. So yeah. Now, his last game against Milwaukee, they did win his game, but he got away with 5 walks. Against the Crew.
Or he pitched around 5 walks. He navigated having runners on the base pass.
Man, boy, you are really being nice there. Navigating 5 walks?
He gave up 2 runs.
I know.
If you go 5 2/3 and you only give up 2 runs, walk 8 guys.
That's a stressful way to go through life, though, man. And he's a veteran. I don't believe that Colin Ray is out here conceding bases. I don't think. But your guy, you know, We talked about Javier Assad. Javier Assad was really good. And I've been hard on him, man.
For no reason, also.
Well, just because, here's why I'm hard on Javier Assad. And maybe this isn't fair because we had a pitcher here who was one of the greatest Cubs ever in Kyle Hendricks who didn't have velocity. I just get scared when, and the type of pitcher Assad is, he is a get in trouble. Getting in a lot of trouble,
and then
he gets out of it. But it always feels lucky, and he wasn't getting away with it in his first start back. That's for sure. But he was good. He was good. I don't dislike Javier Assad. He just makes me nervous. But six innings, one run, two hits, 72 pitches, and the 3-2 win over the Angels on Friday. So good for Javier.
Five on it. Number five.
Last question here on Five on It. It's always a life question. Yesterday's you guys helped me get jacked. So I have another hobby that I want to pick up. And here's the question. What's the number one life skill you need to learn before you kick the bucket? Mark Grody, Marshall Harris.
Funny, I was thinking about this just yesterday without even knowing that this would be one of the questions. Yesterday was Tuesday, right?
Yes.
So I do a little bit of extra work outside of the building. I work at a hospital, and a lot of my patients, I have patients, my patients are Spanish. And I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I retained a decent amount of it, but I want to learn the whole language. I want to get that Rosetta Stone thing, and I want to be able to speak Spanish fluently. So that is that a life skill?
Yeah, 100% to learn a language.
That's a language skill.
Learn a language. So I would like to learn Spanish and be able to communicate in that language at all times. So that is exactly what I would like to be able to do.
Let me tell you something. Yours folds in perfectly to what I'm about to say because it's definitely under the umbrella. The number one life skill you need to learn before you kick the bucket is learn how to connect with people.
What?
Learn how to connect with people.
He's taking shots overrated at Robbie's, Tyler and Robbie's generation right now.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay. This is...
How do I reach?
Regardless of age. I know people older than me.
Call somebody?
Connect with people. When I say connect with people, understand where they're coming from. Understanding that you have to have a certain level of emotional intelligence to be able to empathize with others. Because I think empathy is something
huge.
that's been on life support for a while here.
Yeah.
Learn to understand the value of community. And that's really what this is. You know, my dad told me when I was, I think, like 12 or 13 years old, he's like, listen, you know, and it's kind of a variation of the people won't remember you, like who you are, and they won't remember your titles, but they always remember how you made them feel. My dad told me the only thing that matters, not whether you have money or not, not whether you amassed all these riches, like your relationships are the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Relationships are the only thing that matters. So you just have to learn how to connect with people to make sure that you have valid relationships in your life with whoever, with strangers, with family, with friends. Make sure you can make yourself available. Make sure you can anticipate the needs of the people closest to you and try to make the world a better place by connecting with others. If you can't connect with others, It's going to be a tough run.
You guys feel good about yourselves now for making fun of Marshall?
Yeah,
you guys feel all right now?
Well,
after
mine's
that?
The piano, so not as important as.
Oh,
as
yeah, yeah. After all that,
stop,
by the way.
Stop asking these life questions.
By
you
the
don't
way,
want life answers.
Marshall, real quick, beautifully said, honestly, like earnestly. I have nothing else to say. Robbie and Tyler, what are life skills?
Yeah,
I want to know.
The piano. I need to learn how to learn the piano. I've never done a cartwheel in my life. Kind of want to learn how to do a cartwheel.
Well, if you get jacked and go to yoga as well, you'll be doing cartwheels in no time.
My niece does cartwheels, and she did the splits recently, and she broke her butt. Tyler, what's yours?
Baby T wants to take everybody's life lessons into hand. I don't have one myself.
So learning is a life lesson.
Learning,
I think that's
learning
perfect.
Everybody.
Perfect.
Third person baby T.
Yeah, I was not expecting
the
third
Tyler
person.
What does
Tyler want? Oh, man. Is that it? Is that it for
yeah,
five
that's
on it?
It? Five on
Let's see what we have coming up next. Oh, we have Caitlin Sharkey coming up next from GN Sports, from WGN TV. Caitlin Sharkey to talk about the Chicago Bears. She spends a lot of time out at Hallis Hall, so she's always got great insight. Don't be Anthony Heron. Don't be singing while I'm talking here. You know I've had to straighten him out.
It's called background music.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just so used to being traumatized by Big Ant. He's Marshall Harris. I'm Mark Grody. I'm in for Layla on the Raheemian Harris Show on The Score.